Now, Harold Tanky Challoner was a war hero who became a tough and eccentric police sergeant given the task of cleaning up criminals in the Soho of the 1960s. Challoner was noted for his unorthodox and sometimes brutal approach to questioning suspects. After arresting a man who came from Barbados, he was said to have stood on the charge room table singing "Bongo, bongo, bongo, I don't want to leave the Congo," whilst repeatedly punching the suspect. He finally fell from grace when he was accused of faking the evidence in one of his cases, but was found unfit to plead because of mental instability. Kathy Unsworth is a novelist who's been researching Challoner's life, and James Morton is a crime historian. He explains how Tanky Challoner got his nickname.
Well, when he became a commando of the SAS, he lost his cap, and apparently he was given a tank corps cap to replace it, and as a result he was called Tanky.
He was involved in some rather daring exploits during the war, wasn't he?
Well, there's no doubt that his war record was a fine one, yes. He was parachuted in with three other, an officer and I think two other men, and they spent a good deal of time blowing up railway lines and causing as much damage as they could in Italy.
He was captured eventually, though, wasn't he?
He was, yes. He was never captured for very long. The officer who was with him was captured, but he was captured certainly twice, if not three times, and escaped, really, within a matter of, well, in a matter of days the first time and weeks the second.
And, Cathy, he escaped dressed up as a washerwoman at one point.
Yes, he got in with some fellow British prisoner of wars in Italy, and they got a pair of black socks and a couple of blankets, which was enough to turn him into an Italian washerwoman.
Why did his character appeal to you as a novelist?
Well, he's just such a mass of contradictions. I mean, in this biography, he comes across as a kind of amusing figure, a sort of heavy-duty Gene Hunt, if you like.
He'd had a pretty brutal childhood, according to his biography. His father beat him, his sister, his mother, and eventually he became a nurse in a mental hospital and then worked in a foundry and eventually joined the Met Police.
Where he developed something of a fearsome reputation.
Well, he did indeed. It was a time when the Met Police, as it were, took prisoners and asked questions afterwards, and Challoner was very suitable to, quote, clean up the West End, which probably did need cleaning up. I think it would be fair to say that he did clean up Soho, but unfortunately, the methods he used were not really acceptable.
But then he did come unstuck with a celebrated incident during a demonstration.
This is the problem. Had he stuck with just loading it onto villains in Soho, I don't think anyone would have taken very much interest. The villains complained their word against a highly decorated, respected police sergeant was going to go nowhere. But unfortunately for him, and probably fortunately for everybody else, he decided to plant a brick on some demonstrators who were protesting against a visit by the Queen Frederica of Greece. He came unstuck because one man was remanded in custody and couldn't change his clothes. He fortunately engaged a very, very able solicitor who took away the clothes immediately he saw him, and there was no brick dust in the pocket. Mm. And that was the end of Chandler.
And I think he was the head of the Civil Liberties Union or something like that.
He was certainly a high-ranking member. I don't know if he was the head, but he was certainly well up in it.
He did have a great colourful turn of phrase, didn't he? What did he say on making the key arrest that was to damage his career forever?
Well, he gifted the world with the immortal phrase, "You're nicked, my old beauty," which I think has been a gift to crime writers ever since.
So then Tanky faced charges of having fabricated evidence, but was found unfit to plead, is
yes,
that right? Yes,
many people thought quite fortunately.
And he is then sent off to a mental hospital.
Well, certainly. No, he's out. He's released almost immediately. He went back to working for the solicitors who'd defended him.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think that the mental illness was real?
I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you that a lot of police officers didn't think so. They thought he'd swung it.
Interesting. What does he say in his book about this incident?
Well, he just claims that he can't remember a single one of the incidents pertaining to the brick incident. So he goes on at length about his diminished responsibility, basically, and the scars that he bears from being institutionalised.
Mm. And do you feel that he is a sympathetic character?
Ultimately, no, because there were several other people languishing in prison on his evidence that were totally and utterly innocent and proved to be by civil liberties when they looked into cases that went before the brick incident. He seems to have just constructed villains to say that he had a high arrest rate and he looked brilliant, he looked like the scourge of Soho.
So you've said, James, that he was a a heroic man during the war, but obviously then there was this darker side to his character. Where did it all go wrong, do you think?
How did he become that? I suspect it's something to do with the war brutalized him. And also, I think his childhood probably had a great effect. But also, I think you've got to look at him in the context of the times. He wasn't the only police officer who was fitting people up. He wasn't the only police officer giving them a clip. It was just unfortunate for him that he chose people of good character to do so. In those days, with fair impunity, you could do quite a lot with a suspect who had got previous convictions, knowing the magistrates would back you up.
James Morton and Cathy Unsworth on Harold Tanky Challoner, who's died aged 86.